in a certain sense, the beginning of the sugya, but in a very real sense, it's a more continuation of all the things we've been talking about up to now. We've been talking for quite some time about the guidelines and the principle of Ein Bishalach HaBishal. The Mishnah tells us that at the end of the Shabbos, and if you have food that was cooked, then you want to subsequently cook it on Shabbos, but this and that Torah of Bishal for sure will not be violated. Doesn't mean most of the Chachilah put it on the fire, these are abundant issues to reckon with, but in the realm of the Issa Deraisa of Bishal, the most serious of all problems, we have a principle called Ein Bishalach HaBishal. Nevertheless, there seems to be some exceptions to this rule of Ein Bishalach HaBishal. We spent a lot of time in the past talking about at what point do we say Ein Bishalach HaBishal, just how cooked must the food be in the first place for Ein Bishalach HaBishal to kick in. Then we saw the possible distinction between a davalach in contrast to a davayavish. Maybe Ein Bishalach HaBishal only applies to salads, doesn't apply to liquids. We spoke about why that should not be true. Then lastly, we spoke a lot about the sheet of the cold log, that's the Rambam. But even though Ein Bishalach HaBishal, but Yesh HaGosach HaBishal, if you actually begin to stir the food again, maybe that would be, in a sense, override the principle of Ein Bishalach HaBishal. So the rule itself, it's a great rule. Sounds like it's an all-encompassing rule, but not quite. There are a lot of potential exceptions. And now we're going to begin to discuss the next of the possible exceptions, and that's based on the following understanding of the Bishal process. Whenever we speak about Bishal and Shabbos, we've been using certain terms interchangeably. We call it Malacha Bishal when you make a chapa. But that's not really Bishal. It's called the Ofer. But Bishal, Ofer, what's the difference? Baking, cooking, it's all the same. Or when you barbecue a piece of meat, so we call it Bishal. That's not really Bishal. That's called Tzuli. It's called roasting. What's the difference? When you fry food, so we call it Bishal. Really, Halacha, we call it Tigun. It's called frying. There are really four different processes. There's Bishal. That's when you take an egg or chicken, you cook it in a liquid medium, that's really called Bishal. You have Ofer, when there's no liquid, now it's a batter, it's dough, you're baking it up in the dry heat of the oven. Tzli is, you're taking food and putting it literally roasting on the fire. And Tibun is when you're frying in some kind of an oil or other kinds of things which will assist you in frying. So these are four different processes of Shabbos, and all four of them are Chayav Min HaTorah. Because the truth is, the real malacha of Bishal, although as practiced in the Mishkan, really was Bishal, the cooking up of the dyes, Mishkan doesn't even record it as the malacha of Bishal. The Mishkan lists it as the malacha of Ofer. And the reason why the Mishkan calls it Ofer is because the Mishkan is more interested in keeping in sync with what closely to do with the pas, the order of making bread. When you talk about making bread, so then you describe the malacha as being Ofer. So in the Mishkan it was Bishal, in the Mishnah it's called Ofer. And our lingo, tzlitin, it's all the same, and the answer is all the same. It doesn't really make a difference. Anytime you take food and you make it edible through a heat cooking chayot kind of a process, that's for sure going to be a malacha day answer. So we are correct in having, up until this point, used these terms interchangeably. But now we're going to become a little more exact in our description based on the following. In bishalach bishal, that's true, that's a given. What if we start to cross processes? What if something was initially baked? And now I want to cook it. Is that called Ein Bishal Achar, quote unquote Bishal? Or maybe I should say, wait a second. Since the original process was not Bishal, the original process was Ofer. So maybe we can make up a new cloud called Yesh Bishal Achar Ofer. For that matter, Yesh Ofer Achar Bishal. But we're already switching themes. Yesh Bishal Achar Tzli, Yesh Tzli Achar Bishal, Yesh Tigan Achar Ofer. We could play a lot of games here. What is the rule of Ein Bishalach HaBishal? Do we say that Ein Bishalach HaBishal is across the board, no matter what process is done to the food to make it edible, then no subsequent process will be problematic? Or do I say, no, only when you're within the same exact process can we invoke the principle called Ein Bishalach HaBishal. Once you start to cross over, cross teams, Yesh Bishalach HaFiyah, Yesh Abiyach HaBishal, etc. So the Gemara does not discuss this topic specifically in Masechet Shabbos concerning Bishul B'Shabbos, but there are several Gemaras that talk about this topic concerning other Bishul Afriya flesh related processes. And the question that becomes in Masechet Shabbos is, how can we extrapolate from those figures to Masechet Shabbos? So first we have to learn those figures. We'll try best we can with Ralpeh. Try to learn through those two figures, two primary figures, which discuss this topic. And once we understand how it's playing out in the other areas of halacha, we'll be able to come back and perhaps, hopefully, apply it properly to Masechet Shabbos. Both of the sugyas happen to revolve Pesach. One of them appears in Masechet Sukkah, one of them appears in Masechet Brachos. Another is probably not the number one yom on your mind as we speak, But in terms of Mass Sugya, it's really going to start out with a Hilchos Pesach Sugya. The Gemara actually in two places in Brachot and Pesachim talks about two different aspects of Hilchos Pesach. One is Korban Pesach and one is Matzah. Considering the Sugya of Korban Pesach, we know that the topic of Bishul is very important because the Torah says you're not allowed to be Mavashel Korban Pesach. In contrast to Bishul, you have to eat the Korban Pesach in a state of Tzli. The Torah compares and contrasts So don't cook the Korban Pesach. Then we don't prepare the Korban Pesach by putting it into a pot of water and putting it on the fire. That's bad. That's initially the right to eat the Pesach that way. What should you do? Kiyum Tzliyesh. You have to do it rather in contrast. You have to do it Derech Tzli. So here, unlike Yochai Shabbos, where we've been lumping together Tzli, Bishul, thing, here the Torah is quite clear that the two are very, very different from one another. And you have to make sure to do one in contrast to the other. Gemara Maseches Bracha, Maseches Pesachim, raises the question, well, what if you did both? What if you first roasted and then you cooked? What would you say about such a Korban Pesach? So on the one hand, you roasted, did a great job, wonderful, cooked in a raised roasted on the open fire. Then you goofed, you went and threw it into the pot of chicken soup. Then what do you call that Korban Pesach? You call that Korban Pesach Tzliyesh, because after all, it was Tzliyesh. And maybe we could say, quote unquote, ein bishul achad tzli. Whatever happened afterwards just shouldn't concern us. We say the second process doesn't exist. Because once it was tzliyesh, it's always tzliyesh. Otherwise, say, no, not so simple. Maybe yesh bishul achad tzli. So that thing we're discussing is that true by Korban Pesach, is it not true by Korban Pesach? If it's true by Korban Pesach, is it a special posuk by Korban Pesach? And back and forth and back and forth. Then the Gemara goes in a way to this topic of Korban Pesach. To another sugya, also related to Pesach, but here it's not a question of Tzli versus Bishul, it's a question of Afia versus Bishul, baking versus cooking. What halacha in Hilchos Pesach revolves around baking, obviously matzah. In order to fulfill the mitzvah of matzah, the matzah must be halachically categorized as having been baked. How do you know that? Why is that so important? But we know that matzah has to be lechem, that's the Torah says explicitly, lechem only. One of the characteristics of matzah is that it must be halachli lechem. Obviously, lechem doesn't mean chametz, it's just halachli lechem. So it must be lechem. And we also know that the term lechem, the word lechem, is also assuming that there was a baking process done. That's in the Sefer Shepasuk. Up to lach lechem etad arechon, the Torah describes lechem as being baked. If you connect to that, if matzah has to be lechem, and lechem has to be baked, so then that was the first day of geometry, something A equals B, B equals C, A equals C. Then, in order for matzah to be yotzi with this piece of matzah, it has to have undergone a afia process. This is in contrast to a bishul process. So if you took the same ingredients, you took the same flour, you took your water, and you mixed it together and threw it into a pot of water, so maybe you have lakshin, you have noodles, but you don't have matzah. So it's not enough just to be flour and water. It's not enough not to be chametz. What it has to be is, it has to be baked, then and only then is it called lechem, and then and only then can we discuss the yotzei mitzvah matzah. The Gemara raises the same story, the same question. What if I baked matzah? So right now it's a kosher piece of matzah, but then I subsequently cook the matzah. Is that considered to be that the bishul transforms the afiyah? The bishul takes over the afiyah, basically negates the afiyah. Now we follow the second process and say, this matzah is not baked anymore. Because yesh bishul achra afiyah, what happened before, history is done. Now it's in effect matzah that was in bashla, which is no good because it's lacking in the shem lechem. But do I say no? Ein bishul achra afiyah. Once it's baked, baking process is over, it takes effect. Anything you subsequently do to it is bachla b'futl, doesn't really count, and the matzah still retains the status of afiyah. The Gemara again in Maseches Brachos, that Maseches Pesachim discusses the shayla as well. So we have two sugyas, two shaylas, which are both have their roots at the Hilchos Pesach, the Leil HaSeder, but the underlying principle is really one and the same. Namely, when you have two processes that are done to prepare a food, but the processes are different. In the Korban Pesach case, it's Tzli then Bishul. In the Matzah case, it's Afiyah then Bishul. The underlying question is really the same. Do we say Yesh Bishul Acha previous process, or do we say Ein Bishul Acha previous process? It happens to be that the matzah shayla for sure is a machlokes atanoim, and we pass it like Rabbi Yossi, hence Rabbi Meir, we pass it like Rabbi Yossi, but in fact the matzah would not be acceptable. So what we call a matzah mevushelev, even though the original preparation of the matzah was through asiyah, we pass that matzah mevushalet is not acceptable. So it seems to be that we pass in that bishul, in fact, cancels asiyah. We just put all the pieces of the puzzle together. It sounds like we pass in bishul cancels asiyah. Therefore, it's no longer matzah. Now the question is, what do we do with that? Where do we take that premise? How does that apply outside of the realm of the Leil HaSeder? So the Mordechai in Maseches Shabbos quotes from Rabbi Eliezer Mitzvot, the Sefer Yerayim. It was a Talmud Mubach of Rabbi Natam. And the Sefer Yerayim connected all stuff. The Sefer Yerayim says, well, we paskin in Hilchos Pesach that Matzah Mevushalet is not acceptable. So therefore, we paskin in effect that Bishul overrides Asiyah. Says the Sefer Yerayim, well, if Bishul overrides Asiyah in Hilchos Pesach, then Bishul should override Asiyah in Hilchos Shabbos as well. What would that mean for us practically? If you take a piece of bread, it's fully baked, completely 100% baked, it's edible, you were eating this challah a moment ago, it's completely baked, this piece of challah, but you now take this piece of challah and throw it into a pot of hot water, and you, for lack of a better term, you quote-unquote cook it. But whether or not in the cookbook they'll tell you that's called cooking or not, I don't know, says the Urayim, but you cooked that piece of challah. I look at the Urayim and I said, I cooked the challah, the challah was baked already. Ein bishlach abishol. To which the Urayim responds, that's not called ein bishlach abishol. That's called the opposite. That's called yesh bishol achar afiyah, and therefore it would be a problem. To what degree, to what extent would it be a problem? A very serious degree, namely, would be deraisa. Because the sugyas of matzah from Pesach are talking about on the level of deraisa, and as such, this would be tantamount to chilul Shabbos deraisa. Comes the Sefer Urayim and says, not only is it also in a Torah to take a piece of challah and to put it, draw it to a pot, and now let's plug in some of the things that we spoke about in the past. We know that bishul could take place not just in a pot on the fire, bishul could even take place in a pot off the fire. As long as at one time it was on the fire, that's what's called the klirishon shelo al gavi ha'esh. At one time it was on the fire, now it's no longer, it's been taken off the fire. The Mishnah says explicitly that's also bishul. According to probably most of the Rishon, that's Bishul D'Araisa. The Senti view of the Rambam, that from June days, maybe come to Bishul D'Rabbana. Many, many Rishon say that it's a Mamish Bishul D'Araisa. It comes to Sefer Yerayim and says, it's also in a Torah to take a piece of challah and to put it into a pot of water on the fire. And it's also in a Torah to take a piece of challah and to put it into a pot of water off the fire. Probably neither one of those things are going to interest us too much. And now the Sefer Yerayim comes with a punchline. He says, and by the way, even if you empty the contents of that pot and you put it into your bowl, it may also be awesome in the raisa to put that challah into your bowl, notwithstanding the fact that that bowl is not on the fire now. As a matter of fact, it was never on the fire. It may still be awesome in the raisa. Now, before we get to the exhibition of Rafiya, let's just digress for a moment. That's just not the ring bells in our mind. That's the raisa. You know, we spend most of June talking about the principle called Klisheini Echel of Hashel, that Bishul can only take place, the Isra of Bishul only takes effect in a Kli Rishon, either on the fire or at one time on the fire. Once the contents are emptied into a bowl, isn't that another way of saying Klisheini? And does the Gemara take the favor of the Shabbos in the Torah prayer, Klisheini Echel of Hashel? What's the Sefer Yerayim talking about? So the Sefer Yerayim explains himself. Yes, it's true. There's an absolute rule called Klisheini Echel of Hashel, but not as absolute as we thought it was. The Gemara says it, and then later on in the Masechta Shabbos, the Gemara qualifies it a little bit. And the Mishnah of the Gemara, the end of the Masechta Shabbos, say, yes, Klisheini and Mevashel. No bishul takes place in the Klisheini unless the food is what we call Kali HaBishul. Unless the food is a type of a food that's very, very easily cooked, very soft type of a food that's very, very easily cooked, then the Mishnah of the Gemara says in Shabbos, it will be a Deraisa, very much so, Klisheini, Klisheini can affect Bishul, you can have a Bishul deraisa, even in the Klisheini, and it's a very, very easily kind of a food to be cooked. What are some examples of very easily cooked that can be subject to Bishul, even in Klisheini? The problem is that the Mishnah gives you the rule, and they give you one or two examples, and leaves us hanging. The Mishnah speaks about Kuyus Ispinin, the Malia Chayoshon, very small kind of soft fish, salty kind of fishes. We're not exactly sure what precisely there are. Rashi on the spot gives you the old French word for one of them. He says, Tetzvav Nun Yud Nun Aleph, which sounds like tuna. Whether he's talking about we call tuna or not, I cannot tell you, but he does use the old French word called tunina. So We know that there are certain kinds of foods that are subject to bishul even in klisheni, but the Mishnah doesn't seem to give us an exhaustive list. It's if your rain says, now we're sitting 500 years later and trying to figure out what's on the list and what's not on the list, then we say if your rain, we don't know. We cannot say with certainty what's on the list, what's not on the list. Whenever you see a Rishon use that kind of a lashon, we know a chumash right around the corner. We don't know what's on the list, what's not on the list. Therefore, we have to assume that any given food is on the list and to prove it otherwise. When I read the Mishnah, I thought that everything's okay in a cliche, and you accept for these one or two things. When the Sefer Reim finished the Mishnah, it turns out everything's also, except for what we know is not on the list, which we're going to have to look around and see, scrounge around to find what's not on the list. But that problem is if you said the Sefer Reim, is that Chalof may very well miss the mark, may very well be on the list. And therefore, we have to now be concerned that a piece of challah may be kalei habishul, which would translate to mean what you can't do in a kli rishon, you can't even do in a kli sheni. If you just realize what happened, and say, if your rabbi just put together two chumrim, the number one said that yesh bishul acharasiya, it's just an extrapolation from the sugya about masa, so that wasn't such an issue. She said, well, masa mubushal is no good. That's the equivalent of saying yesh bishul acharabishul, which is the yesh bishul acharasiya, which is the equivalent of saying challah cannot be recooked. It's also to recook challah on Shabbat. That was the first set of chumrim. The second set of chumrim is he took bishul out of the realm of a pot on the fire, put it to a pot off the fire, and then took it one step further to a bowl of soup. So says the Sefer Reim, I think that both of these statements are correct. Neither of them is such a tremendous chumrim in and of itself, but when the two combine together, then it comes up with a strange result. The strange result is that it's also potentially min haTorah to take a piece of challah and to put it into your soup on Shabbos. It's a combination of two chumrim, combination of yesh bishul acharasiya, which you just proved from the second pasachim of the second brachas, combined with yesh bishul b'klisheini, if it's kalei habishul, and everything is a sofek kalei habishul for our purposes. You put two and two together. It's also now to put bread, put challah into your soup on Shabbos. So you say, if your rebbe wants to get the point across to you, just how bad is it? He wants to impress upon you that he thinks that's a deraisa. So he says, you may be chayv chatas for it. Choshashani lo mechatas, he says. Maybe you chayv chatas. It's only a maybe. I wouldn't run tomorrow morning, I mean, how my basic should be rebuilt. I wouldn't run this morning. The rabbi writes that if a person believes that Mashiach is going to come, but he doesn't really believe he can come today, he thinks today he's not going to come. Tomorrow maybe. The rabbi says that's like a chashash in Melech HaMashiach. So I don't want to use the phrase that tomorrow. Maybe you better finish today. But I wouldn't go tell everybody who ever put challah in their soup to go run to bring a korban chatas today, because the Sefer Reim says choshashani lo mechatas. Maybe a chayv chatas. Maybe a maybe no. Maybe the first premise isn't right. Maybe the second premise isn't right. But he's concerned enough to put the two together, tell him not to do it. We're not learning the second half of the sugya right now. We're not focusing too much on the kli rishon and kli sheni that we spent a lot of time talking about before the summer. But we want to focus on the first half of the Sefer Reim. The Sefer Reim just extrapolated from the Gemara's and Brachas and Pesachim. He said, well, if Yesh Bishul Acharasiya applies to Korban Pesach and applies to Matzah, then it should apply here as well to the Shabbos.
Both by Kli, the Korban Pesach and the Matzah, one can say that the Beis Kasher requires me to have Kli, requires me to have Afiyah. So therefore, some other process can negate that process because I specifically need Kli. When it comes to Shabbos, I can say that as long as I cross the threshold of a cooking process.
Okay, so you want to work with a very, very long line between a process being fulfilled, a previous process, and in a sense adding on characteristics of a process. The only problem is the simple reading of the Gemara sounds like it's all the same. The simple reading of the Gemara sounds like it's really one fundamental question. Did the second process take place or not? If it took place, then it cancels the first one. If it didn't take place, then it's Gemara the later, then it doesn't exist. So the simple, it's an interesting svara, but the Pashto doesn't sound like that.
Yeah, well, we have
Okay. So we're going to go a little bit further on and see just how far this bishul goes to the Afiyah. Maybe we have to come back to this question of Gittel versus Tosefta.
Like, certainly the Rashba, who didn't have any further cooking past
Nachum Ben Yisrael. Right, well, you said it yourself. You put it in your mouth. You said didn't accept any further cooking past cooking. And that's what that extra word is. He doesn't accept cooking past cooking, but cooking past baking is a whole different ballgame. They're two different processes. The Rashba says, I agree 100% in Bishlach HaBishl. This is not Bishlach HaBishl, it's Bishlach HaRafiyah.
So is it enough? I mean, fried matzah and...
You're not going to say this. I'm telling that to fulfill the mitzvah they write in Mechamon. I didn't say whether you can make a mochi out of it or not. That's a whole different question. Forget about that first. Okay. So we have a simple reading of the array. We just borrowed all these principles from Matzah and Korban Pesach and plugged it into Matzah HaShavuot. So comes the Mordechai, after quoting the Sefer Reim, and quotes another Rishon, the Rav Yoh. The Rav Yoh says that those Gemaras that the Sefer Reim quoted are the biggest proof against the Sefer Reim. Why is that? Says the Rav Yoh, look at the end of the Gemara. Now it's really not fair because we don't have the Gemara in front of us. But the end of the Gemara, now you have to believe me twice, not just what the Havli is, but the Maskara is. So don't trust me, trust the Rav Yoh. So comes the Rav Yoh and says, just look at the last line of the Gemara. The Gemara discusses whether you're Yotzei with Masa and Ahav. The Gemara quotes Machlokes HaTanaim. And the Gemara starts off by explaining Rabbi Yossi's Shita must be, oh, that Bishop cancels us for you. And then the Gemara backtracks and says, no, no. You know why Rabbi Yossi says that you're not Yotzei Masa? Because of the following phrase. Ba'inan ta'amatsa v'leiko. The Gemara says that the reason why you're not Yotzei Masa, according to Yossi, these have nothing to do with what we thought before, Yesh Bishlach HaFiyah, Yesh Bishlach HaFiyah. It's something totally different, because there's a new halacha called Ta'am Matzah B'Hina. Matzah has to taste like matzah. What does that mean, matzah to taste like matzah? The pashtus, what the Gemara is saying, is that once you cook the matzah, it's not, doesn't taste like matzah. The Gemara doesn't say it's mevatah v'yafiyah matzah. If you want to put into real lamdish terms, the cheft of matzah is still here, because the cheft of lechem is still intact. Lechem, the chepta of lechem depends upon a ma'is afia, and nobody ever questioned that ma'is afia. Nobody ever canceled that ma'is afia, because as everybody knows, ein bishlach avishol and ein bishlach afia. The reason why Rabbi Yaitse says you're not Yaitse is not that, nothing to do with the din of afia that was negated. It has to do with the ta'amasa shabbat, the secondary halacha, the second characteristic of masa, the ina ta'amasa baleka. That's why you're not Yaitse. Said the Rav Yoh, if the Havamin of the Gemara was correct, that the reason why the Master is no good is because the Bishul was Mavato Refia, then the Sefer Reim is 100% correct in carrying that din over Hilchos Shabbos. But once the Gemara's Maskana is that it has nothing to do with Bishul versus Refia, it's a second halacha called that even Ta'amas of Aleika, what in the world does that have to do with Masech Shabbos? Masech Shabbos, we're not particularly interested in taste. We want to know Tachlis. Was it cooked or was it baked? That's all we want to know. So the rule is, ein bishlach avishol, and ein bishlach afia, you can never, ever, ever cancel a previous process. The only thing that you could potentially do is change the taste. Change the taste, that's doing anything. So l'chaura, says the Rav Yoh, is anything. The Gemara in Maseches Brachos is a contradiction to the Iranian. Dafka from the Maseches Gemara, it would appear that's not an issue of bishlach afia. Now the truth is that that is correct, what the Rav Yoh says, that the last line of Maseches Brachos is that state of the Ina Tamatza Veleka, and it sounds like that's the bottom line. That's what the Duff settles with that phrase, Ina Tamatza Veleka. What, in defense of the Sefer Reim, in the Maseches Pesachim, where the same, almost the same sugya appears, the Gemara never uses that last line. The Gemara kind of leaves us hanging a little bit more with the Havamina rather than the Maskana. So one could take the possible approach. It's possible to take the approach according to the Sefer Reim, that it really is a machlokes hasugyas, that actually the Amoraim themselves were somewhat unresolved with this issue. Why is the matzah no good? A very long discussion. Everybody agrees that halacha follows with the ELC, the matzah of Mishalos is no good. But the Amoraim themselves seem to have been in doubt as to why is that. So the sugya in Maseches Pesachim is emphasizing that the reason why you're not Yaitzei is because of it's a din in the Bishul and the Afiyah process. It's a din in the Chesed, so to speak. Bishul cancels Afiyah. And that would be relevant to Hilchos Shabbos. Whereas the Maseches Brachos, the Gemara seems to be playing the other side of the equation. The other way of understanding Rabbi Yossi is not a din in the chesa of the lechem, because it's not a din of the bishul ha'afiyah al-yidei bishul. Rather, it's a din prut, it's a localized, very, very unique din related to Hilchos Masa, called din ha'amas of aleka. So in deference to the Sefer Reim, it could be that the Sefer Reim learned that it's actually Mechotches HaSugyas, that it could be that depending on how you learn pshat and why Masa and Lushal is no good, will ultimately dictate what your approach to Hilchos Shabbos is. So that is a possibility. It is a possibility, and we even have some Rishonim who probably do say that. The Rash, the Perish of Mishnayos of the Rash, of the Shimshon, one of the Bavli Yatosos, seems to learn that way, because the Rash takes that sugya about Masim Mushelas to the next level. The Rash says that not only are you not Yaitse with Masim Mushelas, If you take a piece of matzah and you throw it into a pot of water, maybe a bowl of water, not only you're not yosei, but says the Rash, if you did it, forget about Pesach for a minute. If you did it on a regular weekday, forget about Shabbos. You did it on a weekday and you want to know what bracha do you make on the food. So the Rash seems to tell us that the bracha of Amotzi no longer applies. That you can't make Amotzi on this. Why can't I make Amotzi? Because it's not baked anymore. It's not lechem anymore. Why is it not lechem? Because Yesh Bishol Acharafia. So the Rash takes, in a sense, the Sefer Reim to the next level. The Sefer Reim just said that, well, look at Shabbos, you have a problem. Yesh Bishol Acharafia. The Rash says in Luchas Brachas, you also have a problem. And it depends, you may like this Brachas because then you don't have to wash the bench on it. But it's a change in Luchas Brachas. It's such a change in Luchas Brachas. It's so radical. The Rash took that sugya, which started out in Matzah, and started out with Korban Pesach, and said, now it's going to carry on to Luchas Brachas. So that seems also to be emphasizing the fact that the whole Lechem was canceled. The whole thing, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was canceled. Now, the emes is that we don't postulate this Rash in Luchas Brachas based on technical reasons. After those who remember back to the case of Mavarchim days, this goes back, you know, maybe 6, 7, 8 years ago, if not more. So we learned that it was one of the early years of Kalabokia. So we spoke a lot about this Rash, so we're not going to rest. I don't know if that was even on Yom Torah back in those days. It probably was. But Akopanim, the Rash for sure took the Gemara of Yesh Bishol Achabishol to the ultimate, to the conclusion. But we're not so sure we want to go that route. We want to, let's focus on Ochashav. So we're going to say Shabbos now. Let's stick back to the Sefer Reim. So we want to understand the Pshat of the Sefer Reim. The Sefer Reim extrapolated from the Gemara of Masim and Rushelos and said, therefore you can't put bread into your soup on Shabbos. As the Shabbat there, right, you put bread into your soup on Shabbos. Make matters worse, you threw in the Kul of the Chum of Kusheni to make matters even more chum. But we're going to leave that part out. We want to focus on the extrapolation from Matzah to Shabbos. That seems to be understanding Yesh Bishol Acharafiyah. The Rav Yoz is disagreeing and saying it's not true. It's Ein Bishol Acharafiyah. Kol Torah Kula. Shabbos, Pesach, Matzah, Ein Bishol Acharafiyah. There's a special din called even Tamas to the Lake. But what would you say if your Reim responds back to the Rav Yoz? So one easy response is to say, Machon Tassugis and don't bother me. But perhaps we can do a little bit better than that. Perhaps we could say, even if Sefer Reim agreed that the bottom line is, but even got Matzah Valenka. But whereas we thought, or the Rav Yosh taught us, that that line now takes the whole sugya out of Shabbos, because in Shabbos, who cares about taste? Let's question that premise for a minute. Who cares about taste? I may care about taste. Taste may be critical in Ulcha Shabbos as well. Perhaps I could suggest the following, that just as in Matzah, when you cook Matzah, that's important. You can't negate the cooking of matzah because the cooking process ultimately changes the taste. Maybe that changing of taste is critical to Shabbos as well. And maybe when I take a baked food and I subsequently quote-unquote cook it, so I can't say with a straight face, Yesh Bishol Acharafiyah, but I can say, hey, you changed the taste. And changing the taste is important. You can't just ignore changing the taste in Ulcha Shabbos the same way you can't ignore it in Ulcha Matzah. What we're really opening up, and now a major question is what exactly is the definition of Bishol Acharafiyah? What exactly determines whether a process took place or not? Or to put it into more blunt terms, who makes the call whether something was accomplished on Shabbos? Is there a halachic process called Bishol, halachic process called Acharafiyah? So we go into the world of the Medrash, and we ask the guys in the yeshiva who know nothing about cooking, please, anyone who likes to cook, don't be insulted. We ask the yeshiva guy, he doesn't know anything about, he knows a lot about eating, but he doesn't know too much about cooking. And we ask him, was the following act of Bishol, did it take place or not? So he opens up a Gemara and a Rambam and a Shulchan Aruch, and he tells you, Bishol yeah, Bishol no. That's it. Does it taste better, does it taste, well, I don't know, don't bother about tasting. Bishol is determined in the walls of the Beit Medrash with pure halachic concepts called Bishol, Acharafiyah, Tikkun Tzvi, whatever they are. Otherwise, I say, no, wait a second, we're in the wrong room in the house. Leave the base matters for a minute. Go into the kitchen. You have to people know what's going on in the kitchen. You have to have, I guess, did process B, after having done process A yesterday, did process B change the taste? Did process B make an effect? Did process B do something physical, some characteristic of the food? That's who determines what was Bishol. It's quite possible that term of the Inan Ta'am Masav Aleta, Ta'am plays a critical role in Ulchas Masa. Time may also play a critical role in terms of Ulchas Bishol. So we have to now reevaluate everything. We've been learning Bishol for the last 5 months. 2 months we wanted to learn, but since Pesach time, we've been learning the sugya of the Bishol, and now we're faced with a fundamental question, who's calling the shot? What is Bishol? What's not Bishol? Because Bishol is more time-oriented than we may be back in business to compare the sugyas of Matzah to the sugyas of Shabbat. If Bishlo and Shabbos has nothing to do with Tam, it's pure halacha, Tam is Lomalav Lomayrid, then L'chor the Rav Yoh is going to have the upper hand in the sugya. So now we have to reevaluate the entire Bishlo process in order to appreciate what this Nekudas of Machoitis is between the Rav Yoh and the Sefer Rav. We'll show tomorrow. We'll go back.
Steve.